Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be able to come to you here this morning to be able to praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hope everybody had a good week last week. Hope everybody's staying healthy and staying safe. Before we get started in our worship service here this morning, I'd like to ask that you all go with me to God in a word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day that you've blessed us with, and we're thankful for all that you've done for us, and we're thankful for this time that we can to join in our hearts and our thoughts and our minds to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Again, we're thankful for all that you've done for us, and we'd ask you, please always watch over us and guide us. At this time, we have many people in our thoughts and in our concerns that are struggling at this time, dear Lord. Specifically here today, dear Lord, we ask for prayers for the Stafford family, for Brother Dale's Aunt Margie, who's going through a very difficult time with her health right now, dear Lord. Please be with her and give her comfort during this time, and please be with the Stafford family as they tend to her and her needs at this time, dear Lord. Please give them strength and encouragement to get through this time, dear Lord. We also ask for prayers for our members and their loved ones and family, dear Lord. All of us are dealing with a great many things, dear Lord. Please be with all of us that might be dealing with sicknesses or health issues and concerns. Please be with all of those that are dealing with those things to have their health restored to them, whether it's themselves or their family or loved ones, dear Lord. Also, there's many of us that are dealing with things such as fear, or loneliness, or sadness, dear Lord. Please be with those that are dealing with that to please bring them comfort and joy during this time, dear Lord, because there's just so much that we're having to deal with, and it can be a great weight on our shoulders. But we know that we can have comfort and joy from you, dear Lord. Help us to focus our thoughts and our minds on you and see that there is a light at the end of this tunnel, dear Lord, that we can get through this time and be stronger and have you first in our lives, dear Lord. Again, always watch over us and guide us. Help us to focus our thoughts in this worship service this morning so that we can think on the things that we're going to be singing about, studying about, so we can focus on that and praise you with our whole heart, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, we're thankful that you can be with us here this morning, whether you're able to join us on Facebook Live or if you're listening to this recording on our website. Again, we're thankful that you can join us with these songs, with studying from the Word, and able to partake of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, through who you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." There are so many things that we can be thankful for, even through a time like this, and we need to always be mindful of that. And one thing that I think we can all agree that we need to be joyful for is Jesus and his story and what he did for us. There are so many songs that talk about all the things that Jesus did for us. But when I was thinking about the songs this morning, I was thinking about the songs that talk about the story of what Jesus did, who Jesus was, and the reward that we have waiting for us because of what Jesus did for us. So the songs we're going to sing today are songs about that story. And our first song this morning is going to be "I Will Sing the Wondrous Story of the Christ Who Died for Me." When we think about singing, we think about doing that with our heart and thinking about the joy that we express when we sing these songs. So when we sing a song like this, "I will sing the wonder story," it should put a smile on your face because of what Jesus did. He died for us. That is a joyous thing because of what that means for us, the hope that we have because of Christ's sacrifice for us. So it's something that we should always want to do, not only in worship service, but every day of our life. We should have that song in our heart so that people can see, wow, he really believes in Jesus. Jesus reigns in his heart. And that light that shines forth might be a door for somebody to want to know more about Jesus and want to study. So let's sing about that joy. Sing about that story, that wonder story of Jesus. Let's sing.
I will sing the wonder story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing.
Yes, I'll sing
the wondrous story,
the wondrous story
of the Christ who died for me.
Who died for me?
Sing it with.
Sing it with
the saints in glory,
gathered by the crystal sea.
I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back unto his way. Yes, I'll sing.
Yes, I'll sing
the wondrous story,
the wondrous story
of the Christ who died for me,
who died for me.
Sing it with
the saints in glory,
gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing.
Yes, I'll sing
the wondrous story,
the wondrous story
of the Christ who died for me.
Who died for me?
Sing it
with
the saints in glory,
gathered by the crystal sea.
Amen. In Psalm 71, verses 23 through 24, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. Not only do we sing about that wondrous story, the joy that it can bring for us, but we want to tell others, right? We want that to shine out. We want that joy to be there. We want to tell others that story of Jesus and how wonderful that is of what Jesus means to us. So our next song this morning is going to be, I Love to Tell the Story. And again, that should be something that we want to do to everybody that we meet, everybody that we're around. We can be that light. We should want to tell them of Jesus. And I think that's something that should be very important to all of us because, again, it's such a wonderful story and such an important story in all of our life, what Jesus has done for us, and we should love to tell that story. So we're going to sing the first and the third verse. Let's sing.
I love to tell the story of unseen things of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill
will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it seems of glory, I sing a new, new song. 'Twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 55. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've sung about the joy about telling that story, about telling others. And that story is a story of victory. When we think about Jesus hanging upon that cross, it's a sombering thought, but it's also the sign of victory. And it is such a wonderful thing that we should have that joy to want to tell others and to sing about that. But again, it's the victory that we have through Jesus Christ, that we can shine that light to everybody as well. So our song before Brother Bobby's lesson here this morning is going to be Victory in Jesus. We think about that old, old story as this song starts. It's such a wonderful thing to think about the victory that we have in Jesus. We're going to sing the first and the third verse. Let's sing.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Now we turn the service over to Brother Bobby.
Thank you, Tim, and good morning, everybody. Good to be with you once again and to be able to open the Bible and to study from God's Word, that we may learn a little bit more about what He would have us to do. And that's our purpose of being here today, is to try to worship God in spirit and in truth, to do the things that would please Him, the things that He has said for us to do in His will. For some time now, we've been talking about some unbelievable things in the Bible, unbelievable things about God and about Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about His teaching, how unbelievable it was. And in Mark chapter 4, we started at the first verse in chapter 4 and talked about some parables that Jesus taught, talked about the parable of the sower, talked about the parable of the lamp being lit and put on a lampstand, and the mustard seed being small, and yet it grew to the point to where birds could come and land in the air. And of course, this was comparing to the church and the way that it started. Now, I told you that last week what I had planned to do, my lesson had planned to start at verse 35 in Mark chapter 4, but I decided, well, here's some unbelievable things that we need to talk about first, and so we did that. So today we go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 to begin with. Now, I have about three different incidents here that I want to talk about today if I have time. If I get to talking too much on one, I may not do but two of them, but maybe I'll have time to go through all three. I'm going to try to read about a verse or so to kind of get the setting of what we're talking about, and then I'm going to primarily tell the story of the others as we go on in our lesson today. In verse 35, this is immediately now after Jesus had been teaching in parables, and when He was by Himself along with the disciples, He explained all these parables unto them to where they would know what He was talking about. They didn't understand these parables as well as the people that heard Him until He explained to them what the parable meant. And so after this explanation of the parables, then in verse 35 it says, "On the same day when evening had come, He said unto them, Let us cross over to the other side. Now when He had left the multitude, they took Him alone in a boat as he was, and other little boats were along with them." Now, I don't know how many times that Jesus crosses back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. This is one of the focal points of his ministry, it seems, was around the Sea of Galilee. There were several cities and things around it, and He did a lot of His work and a lot of His teaching in here. So He goes across the sea again, and when He gets on to the starts across the sea, they put Him in a boat. They get in the boat with Him, and they start across the Sea of Galilee. Now, it would seem that this would not be any difficulty to cross the sea, because the Sea of Galilee was only 8 miles wide, and you'd think 8 miles, it wouldn't take long to get across. But there were some obstacles that they had to face, and some of the things. The Sea of Galilee was known as a sea that was treacherous, hard to cross in a lot of different respects, and we're going to see why in this story today. They put Jesus in the ship, or He got into the boat, and so He goes down into the stern of the boat, finds Him a pillow, and lays down and goes to sleep. Now they start across the sea, and everything is going fine until all of a sudden there's a great windstorm that arises, and the sea is rough. The waves are beating into the boat. It begins to fill with water, and these disciples are afraid that they're going to perish, and so they go down to the stern of the ship, and they wake up Jesus, and they say, "Master, do you not care that we're perishing?" And He rises from His sleep, and He rebukes the wind and says to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm in the sea. And He said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? Do you not have any faith?" And so they were amazed at this and asked questions among themselves, "Who is this that can demand or command even the waves and the sea, and they will obey Him?" Now I want to go back and tell you a little bit more about this story. The windstorm that we're talking about was something that was not uncommon for this Sea of Galilee. And the geography of this has something to do with that, because the Sea of Galilee was set about 700 feet below sea level. And then on three sides, on the north, east, and west side of this lake, there were mountainous peaks that rose up some 3,000 to 4,000 feet above sea level. And so what you have is, down around the lake, you had like the weather, kind of like Florida would have, or some of the tropical type weather that you'd have there. As a matter of fact, they say that they grow bananas around that lake even today. And so you had tropical weather down around the lake, but then up in the peaks where the mountains were, it was colder air. And so when that warm air from down at the lake rose up and mixed with the cold air among the mountainous peaks around this lake, then often it would cause a violent windstorm. And it said that it was said that long and late in the afternoon and early evenings were the time that this was more common than any other time. So you notice here it said when the evening was come that they got in the boat and they started to cross. So here's one of those windstorms then that came up, that Jesus rebuked the winds. And these storms could be violent. And so it made the lake treacherous, even though it was just 8 miles wide. It was hard to cross it without difficulty. And so they had difficulty crossing here. Now, I know something about this. Where I lived before I moved here, I lived about 2 miles or something like that from the Tennessee River. And there close to where I lived, the Tennessee River was about 2 miles wide from one side to the other. And if you was on that river and the wind came up, it didn't take it long till that water got rough, and you were in trouble if you were not careful. So I can understand about this lake and the windstorm that they had. And Jesus calmed that windstorm. All he did was to rebuke the winds, and it stopped the blowing. He said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And it was just like, I can imagine, just like a mirror. There was no roughness about the water. And so these people were amazed, and they said to themselves, "Who could this be, that even the winds and the waves or the sea obey him?" Now, if we turn on over to chapter 5, we get into the second one that I want to talk about, and I'll read a verse or two here to kind of set the setting, or to give the setting of where we are. "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadareans. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him a man that met him out of the tomb, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him even with chains." Now let's go back and talk about this. When Jesus comes out of the boat, the first one that meets him, we'd say was kind of like a wild man. He didn't live in a house. He lived in the tombs and was in the mountains, as we'll find a little bit later on as we get into the study. And so he came out to Jesus then, and came to him in verse 4 of this chapter, because he had been bound with shackles and chains. He said no one could bind him. He was so strong. And they had been bound several times with chains, with shackles and chains, and it said that he would pull the chains apart and break the shackles into pieces, and neither could anyone tame him. So here was a type of a wild man then that we're talking about that Jesus came in contact with. Always, it says, at night and day he was in the tomb and in the mountains. He was cutting himself with stones and crying out and so forth. Now this describes the person that came to Jesus when he got out of the boat. When he saw Jesus, though, afar off, he ran and fell down at Jesus and worshipped him and said, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I implore you that you do not torment me." Some places say torment me before time. And so Jesus had said to the unclean spirit, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And so the unclean spirit was demanding that the Lord not send them out of the country, but that they might stay there in the country. Now, another thing, there was a herd of swine, and in case you don't know what swine are, that's pigs or hogs, and they were feeding along close by there. It said it was about 2,000 of them. And so the demon said, "Don't send us out of the country, but let us go into these swine." And Jesus gave them permission, and so they went immediately and entered into the swine, and the swine went crazy. When the demons went into the swine, they just went crazy and went running violently down a steep place into the sea and drowned. And so these were the demons then that came out of this man. And Jesus asked the man, said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion, because we're many." And so they went into the pigs, and the pigs ran down the steep place and drowned in the sea. Now the people that was keeping the pigs, of course, they are in trouble now, because they let all these hogs get away, and there's a lot of a lot of money that's down the drain, if you want to call it down the drain. So they, the ones that fed them, went into the city and the country and told the people what all had happened. And naturally, they wanted to see what was going on, so they came out to where Jesus was. And when they got there, what they saw was, they saw this man that was demon-possessed sitting by Jesus there, clothed and in his right mind. Now, that was unusual because he was one nobody could tame. He was a wild man, lived in the tombs and in the mountains. And so here he was sitting by Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And when they got there, of course, the people who kept the pigs and saw what all happened began to tell them what happened to the man, how he was healed of his demons, or the demons was cast out of him, and what happened to the pigs. And when all this happened, then the people, instead of rejoicing over all the things that Jesus did and the great miracle that he had done here by healing this man that nobody could tame, then they asked him to leave their region. They didn't know what to do. They were afraid because of all these things that had happened. You know, look what happened to the pigs, and look what happened to the man. There's something wrong, and we don't know what to do. So they just ask him to leave their region. Now, sometimes this is what happens to people today. They don't understand what Jesus is saying in his word. And instead of trying to learn and trying to be obedient to what Jesus said, they just ask him to leave. I don't want you. Stay out of my way. This is not something I want. So these people asked Jesus to leave their region. And so when he agreed, he got into the boat to leave to go somewhere else, and the man that had been healed that wanted to go with him. But Jesus would not permit him to go, but told him to go home to his friends and to tell his friends what great things that the Lord had done for him and how he had compassion on him. And so the man left and went into Decapolis and began to publish and all these things and tell about all these things, proclaim all the things that Jesus had done to him, all the wonderful things that had happened and how that he had been healed, that the demons had been cast out. What a wonderful thing. Is that not unbelievable? How that Jesus could take a man that nobody could tame, nobody could even bind with chains and fetters, and just with a few words, the man could be like any other person, sitting in his right mind, clothed and wanting to go with Jesus wherever he went. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when people finally learn the truth and be obedient to the gospel of Christ, that they want to be with Jesus. They don't want to be somewhere else. They want to be there. And all the wonderful things, the blessings that Jesus promises unto them, the peace of mind, the satisfaction that they have been looking for, they finally found, and now they want to be with Jesus the rest of their life. Now, down at verse 21, we start another story. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, and how many times has this Jesus has crossed? Here's about three times we talked about today. It says, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. Now that explains, and it's not unusual because, as we've said before, just about every time you see Jesus, you see a multitude of people. They're gathered around him. They're anxious to see what he's going to do, to hear what he has to say, and I'm sure that there's a lot of them that's there out of curiosity to wonder what he's going to do next. Maybe they've been fed by some of the miracles that he's done, and they're there because of this. But whatever the case may be, there seems always to be a multitude of people around Christ. Now, we know that some of the multitudes, there was like 4,000 and 5,000 people in this multitude, because Jesus fed the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he fed the 4,000 with the 7 loaves and a few little fish. So we know at 2 different times the multitude numbered like 4,000 and 5,000. I don't know how many was here at this particular time, but it says a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. Now, at this time, there was a man who came to him who was the ruler of a synagogue, a man by the name of Jairus. And he came to him and fell down at his feet when he saw Jesus and earnestly begged him, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death at home. Said, come with me and lay your hands on her, and she'll be healed and she'll live. And so Jesus started with him to his house to where he could heal the daughter. Now, remember, there's a multitude of people here that Jesus has around him. So they throng him, and you know how hard it would be to move and how slow you would move with a multitude of people like this. Well, there was a woman in this multitude that had been sick for 12 years with an issue of blood. They called it a flow of blood. And she had spent a lot. She'd gone to many doctors, had suffered much, it says, from many doctors, had spent all she had. Instead of being better, she had gotten worse instead of better. And so she had said within herself, if I can just get close enough to Jesus to touch his garment, to touch his clothes, then I'll be healed from this disease that I have. And so she made her way. I don't know how she made her way through all this crowd of people to get to where Jesus was, but she did, and touched his garment. And she felt immediately that the issue of blood was dried up, that she'd been healed. And Jesus said, turned and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said, "Lord, you see all this multitude of people that's thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he felt that there was power that had gone out whenever she touched his garment and she was healed. He felt the power that left from him. So when he turned around to see the woman, she came and fell down at his feet and told him all that had happened. And he said unto her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now by this time, we remember that he was on his way to the house of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, because he had a daughter that was almost dead. And so by this time, there were people that came from the ruler's house and said that your daughter is dead. Why trouble you the master or the teacher any further? And Jesus heard this, and he turned to the ruler of the synagogue and said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And at this time then, he only allowed Peter, James, and John to go with him, and they made way on to the house of the ruler, evidently to where they could go a little faster than with the multitude of people as it was. And so when they got to the place where the ruler lived, got to the house, there was a tumult, and those who were there were weeping and wailing loudly, it says. And when Jesus came, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but asleep." And it says that they ridiculed him. The King James Version says they laughed him to scorn because they knew that she was dead. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and mother of the child and then Peter, James, and John, who came with him, and they went into the room where the child was laid. And he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumai," which is being interpreted, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And she rose up and began to walk. And it said that she was 12 years old. And so she began to walk, and Jesus told him not to tell this to everybody, not to publish this in the country, because this wasn't what he was here for. In Luke 19:10 says he came to seek and save the lost, and his main objective was to preach the gospel to people and to convert them unto the body of Christ, the cause of Christ. And so his main objective was not to heal people, even though he did heal a lot of people and raise the dead, cause the lame to walk and all this. But he told them not to publish this because he didn't want to be hindered from his teaching by people all over the country coming to want to be healed by him. And so he told them that they needed to give her something to eat. And remember that she was dead, so I don't know how many days before this. The ruler said she was at the point of death when he met Jesus and was talking to Jesus about it. So I don't know how long it had been since she ate. So Jesus said you need to give her something to eat. So here are three different things that we talked about this morning. Three different unbelievable things that Jesus did that seemed to him as just a common practice. It's just another day in the life of Christ. The healing of the one that had the demons, casting them out, being able to calm the storm on the sea, and to be able to heal the woman with the issue of blood and to raise the young girl from the dead. What a day. What an unbelievable thing. What an unbelievable Lord that we serve. Isn't it a wonderful thing that Jesus came to the world and died on the cross, that we could be children of God, that we could be brothers and sisters of his, that he could be our Savior, our King, and to the one that we stand before on the day of judgment when we must give an account of our life. What a wonderful Savior we have, and how unbelievable he is when we start to read about him.
I'd like to thank Brother Bobby for an excellent lesson this morning. We're going to take this time in our service this morning to prepare our minds for taking the Lord's Supper. We've heard a lesson about the unbelievable things that we've read about what Jesus was able to do for us. And one thing that the next song is going to talk about is something that Jesus could have done but didn't. As Jesus was preparing to be crucified, hung on the cross, he could have called many angels to take him away from that, to not have to endure that cross. But he did not do that. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he did die alone for you and me. So to help prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we're going to sing the song 10,000 Angels. We'll sing all four verses and then the chorus once at the end. Let's sing.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him, he's to blame. Precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, behold the king. They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. To the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, woman, behold thy son. He cried, I thirst for water, but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. To the howling mob he yielded, he did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone, and when he cried, it's finished, he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, we read, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You know, we gather around the table each Lord's Day to remember what exactly the Lord has done for us. This Lord's Supper is a commemoration of the sacrifice that Jesus went through. Do this in remembrance of me. It's a time where we are to use this to identify Christ. His life, his teachings, his death, his resurrection. It's a time that requires our participation. we get to be the partakers of the emblems. The bread, which represents his body, the cup, representing his blood. It's a time where we get to go back and remember exactly what Jesus has done for us. We go back to the crucifixion. We go back to the mocking and the pain, the suffering, and the ultimate death. But we also get to remember the reason for the occasion, that Christ overcame death, and he gives us a hope of an everlasting life. It specifically points to the object of our actions, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we gather around the table this morning, consider just a couple of things. This is more than just a weekly event. It's a weekly memorial to remind us of the death and suffering that Christ endured on the cross. It's a weekly reminder that Christ went willingly to the cross to redeem us from our sins, and he gives us hope for an eternal life. But it's more than just a weekly event. This is also a communion with Christ. It is that we get to share and we get to exchange our intimate thoughts and our feelings on a spiritual level as we partake of these emblems. And this is much more than just a weekly event. This is a declaration. 1 Corinthians 11:26 reminds us, "For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the Lord's table. This is the body that was sacrificed on our behalf. This is the blood that was sacrificed on our behalf. Our proper observance of this memorial, this memorial feast, increases our appreciation and our understanding on the significance of the sacrifice that Jesus made. It helps us understand when we were to observe this memorial. Acts 20:7 tells us that early Christians met on the first day of the week. We get to eat of the bread. We get to drink of the cup. We get to do so with reverence and humility, and we get to do so with our hearts and our minds. So as you partake today, I ask that you reflect on Christ. I ask you to reflect on God's love and his willingness to send his Son to serve as an offering for man's sin. Think about Christ's humble birth in a manger. Think about Christ being tempted just as we are tempted, yet he remained sinless. Think about the betrayal, the arrest, and the death upon the cross. And think about his glorious resurrection. Often as we gather around this table, I like to reflect on the words of Paul in his writings to the Roman Christians, when in chapter 5 we read, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with our God through Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, our endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God showed his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more we shall be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life." We gather around the table this morning to remember the sacrifice. We've got these emblems: the bread, which represents his body, the cup, which represents his blood.
as we partake of these emblems, let's remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. Let's remember the love that God had for us. Let's remember that hope that we have through this sacrifice. Will you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for this day. We're thankful for this opportunity we have together around this table. Father, for those that are here, for those that are watching remotely, those that are partaking of this supper, Father, help us to look to this sacrifice, to remember all that Jesus endured on our behalf, leaving heaven to come down to live a sinless life, Father, to give us an example that we have to know that we can overcome the struggles that are in this life. Father, for he endured the cross on our behalf to give us that hope, hope of an everlasting life. Father, as we partake this bread, we ask that we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Continuing our thing, Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this cup, the fruit of the vine, which to the Christian represents the blood that Jesus shed on our behalf. May those of us take of him do so in a well-pleasing manner, remembering the sacrifice that he made, remembering that hope that we have through his death and through his resurrection. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Concludes the Lord's Supper. We might have an opportunity to give back a portion of that that we've been blessed with. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we're so very thankful for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity to come together this morning. Father, we're thankful for now the time that we have to give back a portion of that that you bless us with. We know that you bless us with far more than we deserve, Father, but this is a way that we can give back so that the work here of the church can continue. Help us to use this money wisely so it can support growth in not only the members here, but also in the community which we serve. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That brings to conclusion our worship service for today. Glad to see everyone this morning and hope that you've been edified and built up this morning as we've gone into God's Word and studied from it, the songs that we've sang, the opportunity we've had together around the table. Hopefully we're only a couple of weeks away from being able to return. Tim and I are monitoring all the different websites and news coming out of the government and look forward to being able maybe to get some details to you shortly as to when we think we can come back together as a church family. But until then, stay safe, be safe, and as we wrap up this worship service, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, what a great and glorious day you've given to us today for us to come and to study a portion of thy word, to sing songs of grace and honor to your name. Father, to gather around the table this morning to partake of the emblems and remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. Father, we're so very thankful that you love us enough that you sent your Son to die on the cross. We're thankful for the word that we have, the encouragement that it gives to us, and the confidence that helps us to get through these troubling times. Father, we know that there are those that are out there in need of our prayers, and we lift those names up this morning. We specifically ask you to be with the Stafford family at this time as they go through tough days ahead, Father. Be with them as decisions are being made. Be with them as they comfort each other, Father. Be with all those that may be struggling, Father. There are many that are struggling during this time, some with loneliness, some with depression, and we ask you to be with them, help them to get through the days. We so very much look forward to the day that we can all come together to worship as a church family again, praising your name and seeing what we can do to bring honor and glory, not only here, but also in this community. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.